Well, find your Bibles with me and open them to the book of Philippians. We're coming today after a long journey to the end of our study in the book of Philippians. There are still other verses we could study, but next Sunday we're beginning preparation for Christmas. So we're in Ephesians chapter 4. This is going to be a fitting transition. This passage is going to be a fitting transition into Christmas. You know, one of our favorite titles for Jesus is Prince of Peace. That's always fitting as we move into Christmas. This morning we're going to entitle our message, Peace. God's greatest gift to his true followers is peace. If you're opening your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4, let's look at one of the most well-loved passages in all the Bible, Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 2. I urge Euodia and I urge Syntyche to agree in the Lord. Yes, I also ask you, true partner, to help these women who have contended for the gospel at my side, along with Clement and the rest of my co-workers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again, rejoice. Let your graciousness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Don't worry about anything, but in everything through prayer and petition with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses every thought, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's any moral excellence, and if there's any praise, dwell on these things. Do what you've learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you. Linda and I were waiting our turn in the waiting area at a restaurant, waiting for our name to be called so we could be seated. And across from us was a young couple with two small children, also waiting for their names to be called. Now, they had a little boy and a younger girl. The young boy, I'm guessing, may have been six. He was sitting there intently playing a game on his dad's cell phone, really focused. His little sister, I'm guessing maybe four, was too young to play games on a cell phone, so she was entertaining herself by pestering her older brother. And he finally had enough, and he said in a loud voice, "Leave me alone." Well, his mother bent down to quietly scold him, and he said something that he must have heard said by his parents in his own home. He said, "Oh, Mom, all I want is a little peace and quiet." You know, from our earliest age, we're interested in peace. We want peace from the time we're very young. And then it only grows more important to us the older we get. The more mature we get, the more we long for peace. Now, I told you months ago at the beginning of this study that the primary theme of the book of Philippians would have to be joy. Well, joy and peace are almost alike. They're very similar. In fact, I've heard it said that joy is peace laughing, and peace is joy at rest. Well, as Paul nears the end of this letter to his good friends at Philippi, he turns his attention the peace. And that's what we want to do this morning, is we want to look at what Paul has to say about this subject of peace. To begin, he addresses the bond of peace. What we have here in our passage is a couple of women in the church at Philippi who are not getting along. And in verse 2, Paul reminds them of the glue or the bond that holds all followers of Christ together. What is the bond that holds us together? Look at verse 2 again. I urge Euodia and I urge Syntyche to agree. So there's the peace. Agree how? In the Lord. In the Lord. What is the bond of peace? Well, the bond of peace between followers is the Lord. I don't remember whether it was an advertisement for super glue or an advertisement for crazy glue. You know, as I look around, most of you won't remember this. This may be wasted on you. But take my word for this. Years ago, there was a commercial, let's say for super glue, where they took a little tiny tube of super glue and they put one drop of super glue on a small piece of wood, and then they attached a construction worker's helmet to that small drop of super glue. How many of you remember this? Yeah, there you go. And the man held on to his construction helmet and they lifted him off the ground using that super glue. And back then we all thought, man, that's pretty strong glue. That's a pretty strong bond. The one I like now is for Gorilla Glue. Have you seen this one? Here's a man trying to attach a gate in his front yard to a brick fence, and it just won't stick. So out of the side of the screen comes this huge, strong, silverback gorilla. And you know this is a canned commercial because the man doesn't take off screaming. But this gorilla hands the man a tube or a container of Gorilla Glue, and he applies it, you know, to the side of the gate and sticks it to the fence, and lo and behold, it stays there. Strong bond. You're thinking, man, that really is a strong bond. No, so matter whether it's super glue or Gorilla Glue, those bonds pale in comparison to the bond we're looking at here in our passage. The Spirit of the living Lord indwelling in two genuine followers of Christ bonds them together in an unbreakable bond. It can be strained, it can be tested, but it's an unbreakable bond. Well, let's look at a few other passages given to us by the Apostle Paul in some of his other letters. He says more about this bond in Galatians chapter 3, verse 28. He says, you, talking about genuine followers of the Lord, you are all one in Christ Jesus. Romans chapter 12, verse 5. We who are many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. I urge you, brothers, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you all say the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, and that you be united with the same understanding and the same conviction. In Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 1, walk worthy of the calling you have received with all humility and gentleness, with patience, accepting one another in love, diligently keeping the unity of the Spirit with the peace that binds us. There is one body, one Spirit, just as we were called to one hope at your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. So, unmistakably, as we listen to Scripture, the Lord Himself is a bond of peace that holds all Christ followers together, a strong bond of peace that holds all Christ followers together. Still thinking about the bond of peace, let's look at verse 3. It tells us something else about this bond of peace. Paul says in verse 3, help these women. Now that's revealing in Paul's mind this bond of peace between followers is a priority. When two Christ followers are at odds with each other, our tendency is to stand back and let them work it out themselves. And Paul's saying, no, that's no good. That's no good. You need to kind of do what you can to help them. Now, what I'm about to say does not apply to problems between a husband and a wife. Okay? When people are having marital problems, that's something else. If you try to intervene and help in a marriage with a husband or wife having problems, that's a lose situation. So we're not talking about that. What we are talking about is people in the body of Christ who are at odds with each other. Paul's saying, do something to help them. Now, I've been serving as a pastor for a long time. It's none of your business how long. I've been doing this for a long time. So I'm going to pass on to you some counsel that I've picked up along the way when it comes to helping people who are at odds with each other. First of all, love them both. Tell them you love them. Tell each one that you love them. Be there for them. Do not avoid that conversation. If you're hanging out with one of them and the conversation comes up, don't change the subject. That leads to this next thing. Be a listening ear. When people are hurt or offended, they want to talk about it. They need to talk about it. It's even proper at times to validate what they're saying. I mean, I think it's okay as you're listening to them to say, you know what, I understand. I can see how you would be hurt. I can see how that would break your heart. The third thing I would say to you is don't take sides. Our role is not to pile on. Our role is not to gang up on someone. Our role is not to punish someone. Remember, our role is to help unify Christ's followers. And then most importantly, pray. Pray for healing. Put them on your daily prayer list. Pray for them by name. Ask God to warm their hearts for each other. Ask God to cause them to yearn for one another once again. Normally, when people are at odds with each other, normally it's because at one time they were very close. But we're not to leave them alone. We're not to leave them alone. Remember, Jesus said, by this, all men will know that you're my disciples, if you love one another. So we're protecting our collective witness to the community around us by helping followers of Christ who are at odds with each other, by helping them embrace each other once again. So Paul begins his discussion of peace by addressing the bond of peace. Let's move on to the next thing, and that is the prayer of peace. Here we're talking about a different kind of peace than the bond of peace. This is a personal peace. One of the most favorite passages in all of Scripture, beginning in verse 6. Don't worry about anything, but in everything, through prayer and petition with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses every thought, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Let me make an important distinction here and remove, I hope, some confusion. This is not peace in response to prayer, but peace that accompanies prayer. This is peace that comes upon us as we're praying. I helped Linda prepare the Thanksgiving meal this year. Heavy on the word helped. Do this, do that, do this, do that. My response, aye, aye. So one of my assignments was to make the cornbread. Now before I get into this, let me tell you, the cornbread turned out fine. I don't want you to have this vision of a mess. But the directions on the cornbread package said, grease a pie pan with vegetable oil. So I did that. I really oiled it down really good, poured in the mix, put it in the oven, waited the allotted amount of time, and I'm thinking, this is going to be a mess. I've never done this before. Took out the cornbread, and I want you to know that cornbread popped right out of the pan. And I thought to myself, man, that vegetable oil is a miracle worker. And of course, while I'm doing that, I'm thinking ahead. This is like Wednesday of last week. I'm thinking ahead to this morning, and I'm thinking vegetable oil is kind of like God's peace. Because as I pray, this passage says, God's oil anoints my heart so that the worries and the anxieties don't stick. They don't stick to my heart. They don't stick to my psyche. They just don't stick. Now, I know what you're probably thinking. You're probably thinking, Pastor, that's a good analogy, but listen, the problems of life don't go away just because I'm praying. The problems of life, the difficulties of life, the hurts of life don't go away. They're still there. Well, let me share this with you. This side of heaven, the problems of life are not going to go away. The suffering and the difficulties of life are not going to go away. Here are the two choices. Now listen up. Here are the two choices. We can stumble through the problems, the hurt, the heartaches of life with those things sticking and causing us worry and causing us anxiety and causing us grief and causing us an early death. Or, you listening? Or we can go before the Lord in prayer and spend time with Him and then navigate through the problems and the suffering of the difficulties of life with a sense of rest and a sense of peace. It's up to you. Which group you can go through life in? The stumbling, hurting, worrisome, anxious route, or the navigating with the rest and the peace and the serenity with that stuff not sticking. Those are our choices. Let me look at something else here, still talking about the prayer of peace. This may go with that same, but I'm going to say it anyway. This is not peace in a general sense. This is peace in a Christ-centered sense. I'm always amazed at how culture wants to claim the promises of God without following the plan of God in their own life, aren't you? I'm always amazed at how people want to play Amazing Grace on their bagpipes at the funeral service, but they don't want to surrender their lives to the grace of God in worship services. They want to claim one without claiming the other. They want to recite the Lord's Prayer as they're facing the problems of life without following the Lord's plan during the beauty of life. You can't have one without the other. Our passage doesn't say the peace of God will guard your hearts and minds. What it says is the peace of God will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Big difference. We're talking about a peace that comes over us in the midst of prayer because we're involved daily in a faith walk with the living, resurrected Lord Jesus. The prayer of peace. Now, the final thing we're going to look at probably should have been the first thing we looked at, and that is the God of peace. Look back down at your passage there with me for just a moment. In verse 7, Paul talks about the peace of God. But in verse 9, he talks about the God of peace. In verse 7, it's the peace of God will guard your hearts and minds. In verse 9, it's the God of peace will be with you. Peace is the product. God is the producer. That's different. Do we want the product or do we want the producer? Well, I'll answer that for us. We want the producer of the product. We want the God of peace. We want the God who produces the peace to be with us. He's an endless, generous source of peace. He's the one we want with us. The producer, not the product. Look at verse 8. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's any moral excellence, if there's any praise, dwell on these things. So the first thing we're going to say here is the God of peace will be with us as we dwell on certain things. Yeah, I think that was easier to do in Paul's days. But I think it's more important for us to do during our days. And let me tell you why. We live today in the information age. I have here in my pocket this handy little gizmo that gives me access to all the information in the world. This is my window to everything the world offers. And of course, there's the Kindle, the Nook, the tablet, the notebook, the laptop, the desktop, on, 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 on. I'm only limited by my imagination. Anything I want to ask this thing, I can see, I can read, I can feel. What I'm saying to you, this is a wormhole into all the emptiness and all the vainness and all the pride and all the perversion that exists in the world anywhere. I have access to that. You have access to that. You have access to it down here in this youth group. Sky is the limit in all of human history. There's never been more of a need for us to discipline and limit the things we dwell on. We can be spread as thin as midair with this. But we need to discipline. We need to focus. We need to dwell on certain things and not even consider other things. It's a great need for us in this day and age, especially followers of Christ. Paul's making some suggestions here, but again, I think they're way more important for us today than they were in the days that he wrote them. We need to dwell on truth, real truth. We need to dwell on honor, which I believe is totally lost in our culture. We need to dwell on justice, on purity, on loveliness, on excellence. Listen, on biblical morality. We need to focus on God's glory. As we dwell on these things, the God of peace will be with us. Look at verse 9 with me. Here's another thing. Do what you've learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you. So the second thing Paul mentions here is the God of peace will be with us as we do certain things. In essence, Paul is saying, do what I do, and the God of peace will be with you. Think the way I think. This is Paul saying this. Think the way I think, and the God of peace will be with you. Speak the way I speak, and the God of peace will be with you. Live the way I live, and the God of peace will be with you. And the first thing somebody's going to say is that even possible? Is it even possible to live like the Apostle Paul? Is it possible to think like the Apostle Paul? Is it possible to speak and address life like the Apostle Paul? Listen to me. Yes. Yes, it is. He's writing this to the people at Philippi. Just like us. They weren't superhuman. They're just folks like us in the church at Philippi. And he's saying to them, do like me, and the God of peace will be with you. So in answer to the question is, yes, we can live like the Apostle Paul. And it's important that we do so that the God of peace will be with us. And that's what we want. I watched Pastor Davey Blackburn interviewed on TV this week. He's that young pastor, if you've been keeping up with the news, from Indianapolis, whose beautiful young wife, pregnant young wife, was raped and murdered just not long ago. And he was being interviewed on TV, and the interviewer said, I've read, Pastor, that you have forgiven those men who tormented your wife and took her from you. Is that true? And he said, yes, yes, I forgive them. And then the interviewer asked, how can you do that? How can you forgive men who have inflicted such a crime on you and your family? And I wrote down his response. He said, it's something I have to do every morning. Every morning I have to choose to forgive them. How can we possibly live like the Apostle Paul? We choose to do it every morning. Every morning we wake up and go before God and say, God, help me in this day to live like the Apostle Paul. Help me in this day to live a life pleasing to you. May I live a life that's pleasing in your sight. Everything I say, everything I do, every decision I make, every path I walk, every word I say. Help me to live a life pleasing to you, like the Apostle Paul. It's a choice. It's a choice we make. As we do that, Paul says, as we do that, and we can, it's a choice we make, as we do that, the God of peace will be with us. You want peace. So do I. We've wanted it since we were very young. The difference between us and culture, we can have it if we choose to. Through the power of the Holy Spirit living in us, we can have it, if you will. Pray with me. Father, remind us this morning that trusting and following you in Christ Jesus makes us way different than the rest of culture. They may want to claim the benefits of the promises of Scripture, but as we follow you and trust you, we really can. Your Holy Spirit moves into us, indwells in us, empowers us. And Lord Jesus, we stand this morning as First Baptist Church Pflugerville right beside our archetypes, our examples, our models, our mentors there in the church at Philippi. And we hear you through the Apostle Paul speaking to us just as you spoke to them, speaking truth about the bond of peace, the prayer of peace, and about you, the God of peace. We want beautiful, restful, bone-deep serenity in life. As we go through the problems and the struggles of life, we want your peace. Help us this morning. Help us this morning to find it as we trust and follow you. Keep your heads bowed for a moment. It's probably the case today that there is one or two or more who, out of a sense of curiosity or obligation perhaps, have come here today and are sitting here in our midst. And God has spoken a word to you today. And it occurs to you today that that which we're discussing is something you've never had. You don't have now, but that you want. And that's not a shameful thing. We've all been right there. But today, if you'd like to have this special, meaningful, life-transforming, personal relationship with the living Lord Jesus through His invisible Holy Spirit, you can. You can have that today before you leave. I'm just going to ask you this. In just a moment while we sing, kind of use that as a distraction. And while we sing, step out from where you are, make your way on down here to the front. We have counselors, men and women who love people. And they've been trained to visit with you and pray with you and help you understand how to finally and completely give your life to Christ Jesus. Why don't you come while we sing? Make your way here to the front. Or it may be that you'd just like to come to the altar and spend some time in prayer. Do that while we're singing. It may be that you're looking for a church home, and while you spent here in our midst a few moments today, it occurs to you, this is where I want to be. These are the people with whom I want to spend my life. Why don't you come? We don't care where you're coming from. Why don't you come? Just take advantage of these precious moments to follow to get business straight with God through the Holy Spirit. And Father God, we need your help. We need for you to descend upon us. We need for you in your quiet, loving way to draw us to you. Every person here today, speak to us of your genuine, available, real peace. We ask it in your name. Amen.